I greet you with blessings and joy on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost, September 27th. My name is Pastor Melinda Vandersice, and I serve First Presbyterian Church and Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Newberry. I am also the administrative interim pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Sault Ste. Marie. We gather together today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we take a moment to go before God in open and honest confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority alone, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of the day. God of love, giver of life, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our readings for today are from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, and 25 through 32, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And the Holy Gospel for today is according to St. Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was preaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How is one given authority? Well, one way that a person obtains authority is based on a position to which they were elected. The president or prime minister of a country is given authority after they win an election and are sworn in. All elected officials receive a degree of authority once they begin the office. They have rules and procedures to uphold so that their authority is regulated. After their term is up, constituents get to decide if they were pleased or not with the official's job performance. Then they vote to give them another term or vote them out and replace them with another candidate. This is certainly a hot topic as we near another presidential election. One gets authority based on a position to which they were hired. Teachers receive authority over students. Police officers have authority over citizens. Bosses have authority over employees. Though doctors may not have total authority over patients, they have authority over what medications are prescribed to the patient and what tests are ordered. Parents have authority over their children, even that teenager, especially that teenager. I would say that ends when the child becomes an adult, but I'm living proof that's not always correct. I think even in my late 30s, my mom had some authority over me. I don't know if that was realized or if it was just my perception. But I knew when my mom told me to do certain things, she most likely said that thinking she had the authority to do so. Maybe because in most cases, I often did what she told me to do. Pastors receive authority when they are called and installed at a congregation. In most cases, they have been voted on to receive the call, though some denominations appoint pastors to a specific congregation. The congregation imparts on the pastor a sacred trust to preach, teach, and administer the sacraments, among other ministry work. The church doesn't function well if the pastor has total authority over the congregation, nor does the church function well if the congregation has total authority over the pastor. This came up in a roundabout way at a recent colleague Zoom meeting, and I won't tell you what denomination since I serve both the ELCA and the PCUSA. The question discussed was, who makes the decisions in the church? The session or the pastor? Okay, well, maybe that gave it away. The conversation leading up to it was about how the church makes decisions during this time of the pandemic. Does the session decide how and when in-person services resume, what strict restrictions to impose, etc.? Or is it up to the pastor to decide? Do they work together? I would hope that the leadership in my congregations would say that the decisions were mutually agreed upon. There must be a mutual understanding of what is in the best interest of the members. That doesn't mean everyone agrees with every decision, but they have to come to an agreement that's best for the majority of the membership. Kind of like in politics, kind of like with school systems, with businesses, and in our homes. In our gospel reading from Matthew 21 today, the chief priests and the elders asked Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" It was truly a trap. Jesus knew it was a trap. We just heard the bantering when I read the gospel. Jesus said, "You answer my question, and then I'll answer your question." The chief priests and the elders realized Jesus turned the tables on them. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? The chief priests and scribes had to think about this. If we say it was from heaven, then he will ask us why we didn't believe John. And if we answer it the other way, of human origin, we will anger the crowd because they believe John was a prophet. It's a no-win situation. Deciding to play it safe with a simple, "we do not know," Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." We know the answer, right? God gave Jesus authority. That was God's plan when God sent Jesus into this world, even before Jesus was born into this world. Numerous times throughout Scripture, we hear God's authority bestowed upon Jesus. Before he was born, God gave Jesus authority. The angel prophesied to Jesus' mother, Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Through the angel's proclamation, Jesus received authority. God gave Jesus authority in the temple at the age of 12. After the festival of the Passover, Jesus became separated from his parents. When they returned to Jerusalem looking for him, they found him sitting among the teachers in the temple, listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus questioned his parents, who were clearly upset that he wandered off. Typical teenager. "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" It is again through the identification that Jesus is God's Son that granted him authority. God gave Jesus authority at his baptism, acknowledging Jesus as God's Son and bestowing on him the Holy Spirit. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." During his transfiguration, God again gave Jesus authority through God's relationship with him. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This time, God commands Peter and James and John to listen to Jesus. Jesus has the authority from God. Throughout his life, Jesus recognizes and acknowledges that his authority is from God. Even after his death and resurrection, Jesus acknowledged his authority from God and placed it on the disciples, as we hear in Matthew 28. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The words of the Great Commission, the words that Christ gave to us, the authority by which we are to carry Christ's mission and ministry into the world. This authority is more powerful than any election a politician could win or any position a person could hold. This authority is granted to us by God through God's Son, Jesus Christ. This authority commands us to share the love and light of Christ to all. Let us go and do likewise. Amen. Please join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that makes us one. Amen. This concludes our service for today. Again, my name is Pastor Melinda Vandersice. Thank you for joining me today. Go in peace. Remember the poor. Thanks be to God.